Warning!
The following show doesn't represent the opinion of CIBL, its employees, or the local clown college.
Hi, I'm Rachel Nannen Brown.
Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Carrier.
I'm Peter Boghossian.
Hi, I'm Damian Gillis.
Hi, this is Wanda Morris.
I'm Dr. Daryl Ray.
Hi, I'm R.N. Raw, and I took a left at the valley.
And the party was really good.
I woke up this morning, had a burning deep inside. When you're feeling it's all a big lie, I feel the pain, there's hunger and despair. Stop the rhetoric of your teaching. Time for us to share.
Well, with my heart pumping throughout my chest in a nervous way, and you guys dancing in the studio. Welcome to another edition of Left at the Valley, our very first live on CIVL 101.7 FM throughout the University of Fraser Valley and throughout the broadcasting, throughout the valley. Welcome so much with us. Hey guys, how you doing?
Oh, so excited to be here. Hi everybody out there in Radio Land. I'm so glad we're here.
This is a show about positive atheism, secular humanism, and skeptical thinking. And joining me as usual is my misfit ragtag gang of great people with me. Of course, we have incredible Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
And we have our friend, The Reform from Chilliwack.
Hello.
And of course, the incredible Martina as well.
I'm so flattered.
And for today, the show would be about the science of magic. And in studio with us, we have magician extraordinaire, Gary Savard. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great. Thank you for being with us, and thank you so much for you guys for listening.
Hey, and thanks for having me.
And of course, I guess we should also thank CIVL for giving us the shot, and hopefully we can bring you some information, you guys, and a bit of entertainment as well. Guys, want to talk about something real quick? A little chit-chat? What's been happening in your life?
Well, I've had a three-dog week. I've had two of my own and babysitting one, so that's the excitement. Instead of having a three-dog night, I've extended it for 10 days, and I'm having fun.
Wasn't that a song, three-dog night?
I think so. Did anybody catch the Oscars by any chance last week?
I think I slept through them.
Well, I can't blame you, but Nancy, you'll be happy to hear that the movie we were talking about so much, Spotlight, actually
that
won
I know,
Best Movie.
And well-deserved.
Yes, absolutely. If you have not seen that movie is about how the Boston Globe came out and essentially revealed the child predation that was happening in the Boston area from the Catholic Church. Incredible performance, Michael Keaton, Mark Ruffalo, and a plethora of other actors, totally worth seeing. Totally worth seeing. As well, I was actually asked, if you guys are interested in my little life here, to be a judge at the annual Youth Film Festival that's happening on May 5th in Maple Ridge. So,
no, congratulations.
Nice. Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, it's a little contest that's been put by some local people. It's their third year, and I'm going to be a judge again this year. They're actually having a workshop this Sunday, next Sunday, which will be the 15th, I think, from 2 to 4. It's about, you know, kids going out there, and they'll have a theme, something like how to make your city better. And kids will go out there with a camera and put some special effects. And we're talking youth here. We're talking like anywhere from 7 or 8 to 20-year-old kids and youth putting on these movies. And last year they actually had the grand prize was $500.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, you know, for a local initiative, it's pretty cool. And it's put on by the Cinema Politica Maple Ridge Pitt Meadows Association down there, and they do a great job. So we'll keep track on that.
Oh, good. We expect a report.
All right, Nancy, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Let's set you up.
All righty. Now, for everybody new out there, my segment is called This Day in History, and it's a roundup of those events and individuals that altered and illuminated the days between February 29th to March the 6th. And I was looking around to find something on the internet that would be good for our magic theme. And there are a lot of sites out there, but I think I found a real gem. And this is a site out there that's run by a magician whose name is Dean Carnegie. And he has a site called Magic Detective, themagicdetective.com. And he goes into the history of magic. He recommends magic sites, and then he has a lot of magicians and individuals who are interested in magic participate. So that's the site of the week.
Sorry, what was the name again?
It's called themagicdetective.com, and the magician's name is Dean Carnegie. I think he's a Hollywood, California guy. But
Hollywood magic.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, there we go.
Big difference there.
Something associated with Hollywood, it's magic, right?
All right. Starting on February the 29th, which is going to be the last February 29th for another 3 years, it's the Leap Year Day. So let's start with something really good and Canadian. In 1980, Gordie Howe hit his 800th goal. And, of course, he was one of the biggest names in professional hockey, and he was the first to score 800 career goals in the National Hockey League.
Mr. Hockey himself.
He did, and he achieved that feat while he was playing for the Hartford Whalers, and he was 51 years old. So, you know, he was always at his prime. I don't think there was a time that he wasn't. And he scored just one more goal before retiring that year, and then only Wayne Gretzky beat his record.
And the great one.
Yeah. And then in 1984, Trudeau stepped down after 15 years. So a lot of Canadian things going on Leap Year Day. Then let's go to March 1st in 1987. It was the start of National Women's History Month in the States. In 1896, on March the 1st, Henri Becquerel accidentally discovered radioactivity when he developed a photographic plate that he left in a desk drawer with crystals of a uranium compound on it. And he shared the 1903 Nobel Prize with Pierre and Marie Curie for their work in radioactivity. So that's a pretty good triangle of scientific minds right there. Then going to the opposite end of the triangle of great minds, March 2nd is Texas Independence Day. Yeah, we want to say
yee-haw.
Oh, I lived in Texas. I can do that. I can do
we
that.
Just started CAVL. Don't get us falling on the wrong side of the...
No, I can do it with a wink and a nod. So anyway, yee-haw to all the citizens and anyone here visiting from the Lone Star State. March 6th is European Day of the Righteous. And in 1836, that was the Texas Revolution, Battle of the Alamo. It was a 13-day siege. There was an army of 3,000 Mexican troops, and there were 187 Texas volunteers, including Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, and their defense of the Alamo unfortunately ended in all of them being killed and the fort captured. But we got it back in downtown San Antonio, and when anybody visits San Antonio, it's smack in the middle of the city. So, okay, moving on to March 3rd. It's International Sex Workers Day. And I tried to find something to balance that out because we talked about our show always being or trying to give everybody the last word or the equal word. So in 1873... the U.S. Congress enacted the Comstock Law, which made it illegal to send any obscene, lewd, or lascivious books through the mail. So I hope that covers both sides of that topic. March 4th is Employee Appreciation Day and Unplugging Day, which means you unplug all your appliances and kind of live off the grid for the day if you can.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Turn your cell phones off.
Yeah, I know. It's harder than you think. So in 1928, on March the 4th, it was the start of the Great Bunyan Race from Los Angeles to New York. This was just something wild. 199 men lined up in Los Angeles, California to participate, get this, in a 3,400-mile transcontinental foot race to New York City. It was called the Bunyan Derby. That's what the press called it. And the sports promoter, Charles Pyle, promised $25,000 grand prize and claimed the competition would immortalize U.S. Highway 66. And at that point, U.S. Highway 66 was an unpaved road that went through mountains, desert, mud, sandstorm. It was just grueling. And a guy named Andy Payne won the event in 573 hours, 4 minutes, and 37 seconds.
Wow.
It was really something. And here's what was written about. I love good journalistic writing, and I just love this description. The journalist said, "In a wild grab for glory, a cast of nobodies saw hope in the dust. Blacks who escaped the poverty and terror of the Old South, first-generation immigrants and with their mother tongue thick on their lips, Midwest farm boys, they came flouting the odds. Charlie Pyle's offer of free food and lodging to anyone who would take up the challenge opened the race to men of limited means." And Andy Payne won, and he eventually became a clerk to the Supreme Court in Oklahoma City and was reelected 5 times afterward. So quite a guy. And there was a PBS in the States documentary on the Great American Race of 1928. So anybody that would like to look it up, it sure is there for your viewing. And that, dear listeners, brings to a close another passing parade of interesting, mundane, unusual, and occasionally bizarre events and people that make up this day in history.
Thank you, Nancy. As usual, plethora of great information.
It's always a plethora.
Yeah, totally. Well, today we're doing a show on the science of magic, and for those who might be following us from the get-go, this is being our first show at CFEL. The last show we did, we were actually talking about James Randi, and James Randi is actually probably known as the father of skepticism, but he was also the Amazing Randi way before that, and he's actually going to be in Richmond coming at the weekend of May 20th. He's actually coming down for a Lifetime Award, so that's going to be pretty cool to see him there. We used to have this segment on the show that we haven't done quite in a long time. We used to have a spotlight on. We figured that it was a lot easier to do a spotlight on somebody that was worth following. Too many people today, I think, follow people that are really not worth following, you know? I really don't want to hear about, no offense, Kanye West or Paris Hilton or the Kardashians. And we figured that we would do...
Yeah, exactly.
Something about big butts. So we figured it was worthwhile to make a segment about people that are worth following, people that bring intellectual discourse to this to what we do, and that you should follow instead of following something like Kim Kardashian. So today we are going to do a spotlight on the Amazing Randi. And my friend, the Reform, you have a full report on that?
I do.
By all means, the mic is yours.
And you have to say, "The Amazing Randi." You can't just say, "Amazing Randi."
Okay.
It's the Amazing Randi. Amazing
radio voice.
Radio voice, yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway, yes, the Amazing Randi was born Randall James Hamilton Zwang. Is that right there, Martina?
Zwang?
I'd say Zwinge, probably here. What's Zwinge in German?
Okay. He was born on August the 7th, 1928. Randi is a Canadian-born, American, retired stage magician and scientific skeptic who has extensively challenged paranormal claims and pseudoscience. So, James Randi began his career as a magician named The Amazing Randi, and later chose to devote most of his time...
Points for that one, man.
And later chose to devote most of his time to investigating paranormal, occult, and supernatural claims, which he collectively called woo-woo. Though defining himself as a conjurer, Randi's career as a stage professional stage magician and escapologist began in 1946. He presented himself under his real name, but later dropped that in favor of The Amazing Randi. See how many times I can put that in there. Early in his career, he performed numerous escape acts from jail cells and safes around the world. On February the 7th, 1956, he appeared on NBC's Today Show, where he remained for 104 minutes in a sealed metal coffin that had been submerged in a hotel swimming pool, breaking what was said to be Harry Houdini's record of 93 minutes. However, Randi brought to the public's attention that he was much younger than Houdini when the original record was established. In 1967 to 1968, Randi hosted The Amazing Randi Show on New York radio station WOR. Randi also hosted numerous television specials and went on several tours. As The Amazing Randi, he appeared regularly on the New York-based children's television series Wonderama from 59 to 67, and he also auditioned for a revival of the 1950s children's program The Magic Clown in 1970, which was shown, and this is just bizarre, it was shown briefly in Detroit and Kenya. I'm not quite sure.
Kenya.
Yeah, I that's what it says.
Okay.
In February 2nd, 1974, when I was just a wee tadpole, The issue of the British conjuring magazine, Abracadabra, that's a surprising name, Randy defined the community of magicians, stating, "I know of no calling which depends so much upon mutual trust and faith as does ours." In December of 2003, the issue of The Linking Ring, the monthly publication of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, stated that perhaps Randy's ethics are what make him amazing. The amazing Randy not only talks the talk, but he also walks the walk.
He sure does.
During Alice Cooper's 1973-1974 Billion Dollar Baby Tour, Randy performed on stage as a mad dentist and as Alice's executioner. He built several of the stage props, including the guillotine, which I remember as a teenager just loving that tour.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, shortly after that in 1976, performance for the Canadian TV special World of Wizards, Randy escaped from a straitjacket while suspended upside down over Niagara Falls. Gary, have you ever escaped hanging over the Niagara Falls, or maybe just over Cultus Lake?
I'm going to say nope, but I've done the straitjacket upside down.
Oh, yes. Well, that question will come
more
later
than once.
Oh.
Yeah, it probably starts with the smaller falls, you know, like Langley Falls or something like that at first.
Randy has been accused of actually using psychic powers to perform acts such as spoon bending, not Ben Spooning. According to...
More points.
Yeah. According to James Alcock, at a meeting where Randy was duplicating the performances of Uri Geller, a professor from the University of Buffalo shouted out that Randy was a fraud. Randy said, "Yes, indeed, I am a trickster, a cheat, a charlatan. That is what I do for a living. Everything I have done here was by trickery." Randy is a member of the Society of American Magicians and the International Brotherhood of Magicians and the Magic Circle in the UK, holding the rank of member of the Inner Magic Circle with a gold star. And Gary, we'll come back to that. I have a question about that.
Sure.
Randy
Hopefully
retired. What's that?
Hopefully I can answer it.
I hope you can. Otherwise, you're out the door.
He might just disappear out of the studio.
Yeah. Randy retired from practicing magic at the age of 60. Although often referred to as a debunker, Randy dislikes the term's connotations and prefers to describe himself as an investigator. He's written about the paranormal phenomena, skepticism, and the history of magic. He was a frequent guest on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and was occasionally featured on Penn & Teller's television program, of which name I cannot pronounce on this show. James Randi Educational Foundation sponsors the $1 million Paranormal Challenge, which now makes grants to nonprofit groups that encourage critical thinking and a fact-based worldview. Prior to Randi's retirement, he offered the prize of $1 million to any eligible applicant who could demonstrate evidence of paranormal, supernatural, or occult power or event tested under these conditions agreed to by the party. Randy is the co-founder of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, and James Randy, as Kevin has mentioned, will be at Imagine No Religion 6 this year in Vancouver, where he will be receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award, and they will be screening the documentary movie about his life, An Honest Liar. And
with a bit of luck, maybe we'll catch an interview from him.
Yeah, that would be great. So there you go. Cool. That is a brief history of The Amazing Randy.
You say that one more time?
The Amazing Randy.
Perfect.
And you may have to put that on tape so we can pull it out and play it every now and then.
Make it a drop note, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, my friend, and we'll be right back right after this.
What is secular humanism?
Critical thinking.
Knowledge is freedom. Freedom from ignorance and its offspring, fear.
The BC Humanist Association has been active in the Vancouver area for over 25 years. We offer a friendly and welcoming place to make new friends, as well as free educational lectures. We invite you to join us any Sunday at 10 a.m. in the Oak Ridge Senior Center. Please visit our website for more details, bchumanist.ca.
You're listening to Left at the Valley on CIVL 101.7 FM.
It was this point of mystery, and in gets invoked God. This, over time, has been described by philosophers as the God of the gaps. If that's where you're going to put your God in this world, then God is an ever-receding pocket of scientific ignorance.
And we're back. I like Neil deGrasse Tyson. How about you guys?
Oh, he's one of my heroes. I'm not a science person, but the way he describes things and makes it easy when you think something is so difficult, he describes it so that you understand it. And he seems so happy to be able to impart what knowledge he has. I just love him.
I think our friend Seth Andrews said it best. He's a storyteller, and that's what we need. What are you pointing at her for?
She wants to talk.
Oh, well, she can talk. Put you on the spot. Have something to say?
I was actually listening to you, but okay, go ahead.
No. Like I was saying, the man is a storyteller. And no matter what the discipline, people are attracted to storytellers. And to have a storyteller in science, I think, is sorely, sorely needed. So now you can make your comment. Now I'm done mine.
Okay. Yeah, because actually when you look at that, the storytelling... most of the fables, stories from the past, some are written down in holy books. They're all really, really good, interesting stories. And people are emotionally attached to them. So if you have somebody who can actually take this attachment and the emotions and tie them to science, which is usually known as being really dry and boring, you have a real hero in the making.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, speaking of story, I have an interesting story for you guys. So let's do our fun segment that we call...
Another brilliant moment brought to you by religion.
Well, hopefully we won't offend too many religious people out there that are listening to this show. They're probably not listening anyway.
Yeah, they're all at church.
I've got a story. I want to hear your opinion today. I called it Kosher Bacon from the Scriptures.
Kosher Bacon?
Yeah, now there's a fellow named Jonathan Powell. He might look like the kind of normal person you'd run into on the street on a grocery store, but it turns out this guy is an ultra-conservative and extremely strict father who is fond of quoting the Bible while he assaults his 11-year-old daughter. Powell was in court and his daughter testified that in January, while she and her sister were visiting dad for the weekend, he got angry at her and decided he had perfect punishment. As she recalled, he was hitting me with his elbows, his upper arms, and his hands. Then Papa Powell pulled back a pack of frozen bacon from the freezer and began hitting the defenseless girl in the head with it. Quote, he was hitting me with frozen bacon, and he was pushing me back, and I fell right over the dishwasher. I broke it. He was just yelling that the dishwasher was broken. Seeking refuge in her bedroom, the child said that it did no good either. I ran over to my room, and my sister was asking what was wrong. I was in my room for a while. I hear him swearing, saying, "You, B-word, you broke my dishwasher." Entering the room, the father then allegedly continued to assault his daughter for over 10 minutes, leaving her with a bloody nose. When she complained, he told her, he said, "It's okay to do that. It's from the Bible. If you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. He just said that." So Powell was actually charged with third-degree child abuse and could receive up to 2 years of prison if convicted. Now, maybe, I don't know about you guys, but if Mr. Powell had read the Bible, especially the Old Testament more, maybe he would have known that pork is not at all kosher. And to even touch the pack of bacon made him unclean for 24 hours. So maybe he would have a 24 hours break from beating up his daughter. What do you guys think about this story?
What can one say, you know, about kosher bacon, broken dishwashers, this poor abused child, but at least they had their day in court, which is not a, you know, really brilliant thing to say following the story, but I'm sure someone else will have a much better viewpoint than that.
Yeah, I just want to bring up the quick thing about that quote he says, because you hear this on a regular basis. You should spare the rod, you spoil the child. Today, of course, it's an age of, you know, you're not supposed to spank your kids. You know, myself as a kid, I was spanked too. And there's always this debate going on between, you know, should you or should you not spank your kids? Is spanking abuse or is it just a, you know, non-physical? Well, it is a physical, but I mean, it's...
You're opening a big can of worms, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
But where in the Bible does it say a rod and frozen bacon are equal? And he wasn't even Jewish.
I know. It wasn't even organic bacon either, I bet.
No. You know?
So apparently Maple Leaf decided to not comment on this.
Yeah, for
Yeah, so that's an interesting story and food for thought.
I think if
food
you're,
for thought after the bacon.
I think if you've beaten a child, throw away the key.
I would have to agree with that. All right, so now I have a little surprise for you guys because we haven't done this in quite a while, and Nancy really hates this, but let's go with it anyway.
I know exactly what it is.
Our listeners might know, well, our listeners before today at CIVL might know that this is our debate or quiz. We're having a pop quiz. Since we're talking about magic today, I thought I'd do a pop quiz on magic and see what you guys know about.
Are you going to embarrass me?
No. I really should have been smart and kind of give you the answers ahead of time.
I have the lowest score of anybody, so it's okay. You're never going to fall below me. Whatever
right,
it is,
we're good.
It's okay.
Okay. So, did you know that the first known magician to appear in Canada has been reported at a certain Magenis in Halifax? Do you know what year that was? Was it A, 1875, B, 1901, C, 1922, or D, 1931?
1975.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say 1901.
Then I do what? 1922?
C.
Okay. My friend, you do have it right. It is 1875.
Ooh.
All right. How many professional magicians are there in Canada? Oh. Is it A, 500?
Hold on. What do you consider professional?
Actually, people that do it for a living and actually, you know, I don't know if you can say make money off it because most magicians don't. Not people that do it as a hobby, but people actually, you know, are...
Okay, shoot.
Like
go
yourself,
ahead.
Gary.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so is it A, 500? Is it B, 1700? Is it C, 1250? Or is it D, most illusionists are in parliament?
B.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
B.
Yeah, B, 1700?
Oh, I'll go for B. I'll stay with the groups.
Well, you guys are all brilliant because it is B. It is 1700. All right. There are many magic societies in the world. The largest among these is the International Brotherhood of Magicians. Now, what you might not know is that it was actually founded in Winnipeg by Melvin G. McMullen, or a.k.a. Lenvictus. In what year was this founded? Was it 1902, 1912, 1922, or 1932?
I think it was 1912.
Ooh, that was so early. I don't doubt it, though.
Come on, I need an answer here.
1912, so what's the next one up that I can...
02, 12, 22, 32.
I'll do 1912 and lose with that one.
22.
Can I change my number?
Yeah, of course. It is 1922. Excellent, excellent. And that was our pop quiz. Oof. Perfect. That wasn't too bad, now was it?
Not bad at all.
we're not keeping any tally here, and I'm afraid there's no prize.
No prize.
Well, one of these days when I know you, Gary, I show you the bruises from the pop quiz. I'm always glad when they're over.
No, it's actually pretty impressive to say that. I had no idea that especially the Brotherhood of Magicians actually was founded here in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Of all places, Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, yeah.
And I would have thought, you know, Montreal, Toronto, something. No, Winnipeg, you know.
I mean, there are probably
a lot of
very
good
things
happen in Winnipeg.
Yeah, very long.
Besides mosquitoes?
Long, cold, boring winter nights, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's usually good for sex. That's not necessarily good for magic shows.
Yeah, but that gets dull after a while. So then you go into magic, I guess.
Gotta spice it up a bit.
Put a little magic back in your
get
sex.
Get out your magic wand.
Oh, God. Okay, the comments expressed here, not necessarily those of CIVL and Let the Valium. All right, and we'll be right back right after this.
Now it's time for an AtheistAudiobooks.com sneak preview.
The happy atheist
disproving Christianity
after faith,
our Constitution,
baptized atheists, the God virus.
Here is an excerpt from The Child Catchers, Rescue, Trafficking, and the New Gospel of Adoption by Catherine Joyce.
That's when the pressure turned ugly. The Musics sat her down, Rianne said, and asked her what her plan to parent was. In a letter she wrote later, she listed the arguments the Musics made. That placing your child for adoption was biblical, so God would bless me abundantly for my decision. That I had too much potential to be a single mother, and God had big plans for me. That they had to hold me to what I said when I first moved in. And finally, that it shows you care more for your child when you place them for adoption. Rianne didn't know that consent documents for adoption are not legally binding in Washington State until after birth. Everything was screaming at me to keep my child, Rianne said. Rianne wrote the Butler's pastor to request that he help mediate some agreement with the family. The social worker called the Butlers and returned to Rianne with a message. They didn't want an open adoption or to send any photos, but they said to tell you, thank you for the gift.
The Child Catchers, now available at atheistaudiobooks.com.
You are listening to Left at the Valley on CIBL 101.7 FM.
SWAT.
Oh, yes.
Best cop show around.
Out of U of V and broadcasting throughout the Fraser Valley, this is Left of the Valley. Thank you so much for listening on CIVO 101.7 FM. I gotta get used to saying that. Okay, so we're doing a show on the science of magic today, and we're gonna pass on the mic to Gary in a second. The most wonderful experience is that of mystery, and that was said by Albert Einstein. When it comes to magic, whether it's David Copperfield that makes the Statue of Liberty disappear, or making a coin disappear, there are different types of tricks that astound, delight, and make you wonder, how do they do that? In 1893, French psychologist Alfred Binet hired magicians to help him understand illusions. In his 1894 article called La Psychologie de la Prestidigitation, he concluded that illusions are created by many small optical tricks. To perceive them would be quite as difficult as to count with the naked eye the grains of sand on the seashore. And, of course, with us today is our friend, our new friend, and hopefully a long-time friend from now on, Gary. Gary, mic's all yours, my friend.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, you know?
Fantastic.
It's fantastic to have you. I guess you should start by giving us, you know, the Reader's Digest version of who you are and how you become a magician.
Okay. My name's Gary. I've been doing magic for, I'd say about 28 years. I started quite a while ago. I started doing small tricks around for different people. Then I did my first, I guess you'd say, school classroom show.
Was it always something you wanted to do, or did you just start as a hobby?
Well, you know, I started playing the guitar. I liked, I wanted to, you know, play the guitar. I wanted to do something so people could watch, and I couldn't be Elvis right away. So I was working on Mary Had a Little Lamb and all that kind of stuff. So it didn't come on that fast, so I put it away.
So a musician and then a magician. So you never had ambition to make any money, really?
Well, we'll get to that part. So then I went. How can I say this on the air? See, my ex-wife. Okay, my wife now is going to kill me. she was involved in this little entertainment agency, and the guy that started up did magic, and so I thought, wow, that's really cool. Something I could do. I could put my own personality into it, and I started off doing shows. My very first show, I did it in a school classroom, and I had two big tables. I had a table which I did stuff, and then when I put it away. So I did stuff, and I put it on the right-hand table. Do the stuff on the left-hand table, put it on the right-hand table. Then after the show, I produced the rabbit, and then all the kids come up and want to see the rabbit. Except for the other four kids who was going through all my stuff on the table on the right. Hey, look how this is done. So then I thought, oh, okay, can't do it this way. Got to do it another way. So it's a growing experience. It's fairly much a growing experience.
Interesting. I guess what we're really interested in here, and our audience as well, would be the science behind it all. I mean, if we're all watching this and we're all in awe, like every other trick, of course. But, you know, I don't want you to force you to reveal, you know, how you do it and stuff like
that.
Let's
get first things first. It's called magic. It's not called tricks.
Okay.
Yeah, my ex-wife does tricks. She works
fair enough.
Bank. No, forget it. We won't cut it.
Extra point. I guess, would you be so kind to maybe take us through a regular trick and tell us, you know, I don't know, something simple. What goes through your mind? What are you looking for in the, for lack of a better term, the target?
Well, first of all, you got to be an entertainer. If you just do magic, if you just do through, you know, it could maybe not entertaining. Somebody might get bored. So you got to be a little bit of an entertainer. Got to be a little bit out there. A little bit of an actor. What I do is usually when I go through places to see if I'm doing some walk around magic or if I'm doing a corporate, I'll look for the quiet people in the corner, because everybody else is mingling, having fun.
Okay, well, so the quiet person here is Martina. So.
Martina, perfect.
She's our target for today.
So the person that's hired you, you know, you want everybody to have fun. These people are already having fun. You want at the end say, hey, yeah, everybody had a great time. Going through, you want to check out people, see how they look. You know, you want to introduce yourself, see if you get a handshake, see if you get eye contact.
Please don't describe what I look like. I have a face for radio, and that's why I'm here.
Perfect. So yeah, and you want to try something small. You don't want to do your best trick first. You want to start off small, see how interaction they get. If you have, you know, sometimes people don't care. They don't want to see anything, right? So you want to move on. You don't want to be a pain. You don't want to be in their face all the time, because then they get a bad taste of magic, and you don't want that.
When you know, when I was in school and we were doing a debates and lectures, something a teacher told me, which I've always remembered since, was if you have like three arguments, and let's do the metaphor for magic, you use your second best argument first, your worst argument in the middle, and then your best argument for the end. Is that what you do in a show?
Pretty much, yeah. You have to hit them hard at the end. That's what they're going to remember, eh?
Impress them at the beginning, put your middle stuff that's a bit, you know,
yes,
less flashy, and then your final
hit
one.
Hit them hard at the end.
Hit them hard at the end.
But you know what? I do shows for all sorts of ages and things. I do a lot of kids shows. For children, you just got to be funny, got to be entertaining.
You know, what you're saying is really that your people skills and your entertainment skills have to be as finely honed
yes.
as your magic skills. The three have to work together, don't they?
For sure, because kids will be brutally honest. If they see something, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Where if you're doing a show for, you know, a small group of adults, somebody might get a glimpse at something and they're not going to blare it. A child will blare it. Mm. You bet.
So children have a tendency to, right away, if they think it's bogus, they'll just go and then say it, right?
Oh, yeah, they will. And they'll say anything. Believe me.
So what was the worst case of that happening then?
I don't know if I could say this on radio, but
let's keep it PG, right?
We'll keep it.
CRTC airwaves.
Okay. So it's, I'm doing this. I'm probably about my fifth year in, and I'm doing a show at for a birthday party. So I'm in front. I got about 25 kids. The adults are in the back, and I'm doing my thing, and everything's going great. About a half hour into a 45-minute show, all of a sudden, a child stands up. And sometimes they just want to say something, right? They want to be the ha-ha-ha guy.
That was me, actually.
So he just stands straight up. He says, do the one where you pull your pants down.
Okay.
Exactly. So, and all the kids look up at him, right? And I'm looking at the adults. All I say is, sorry, that was the clown last week.
Nice save.
You don't know what you do. I just, you know... gesture to the mom and dad, and you know, like, I'm sorry. You know,
is it possible for you to do something that could translate in audio as a trick here in the studio for us?
Actually, I got this new app, which is kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll do this for you. Come over here.
For me?
Let's see. Yeah. So this is, let's get this phone on here. Here we go. Okay, so this new app here, mm-hmm. is, you can produce your card. See this?
Oh, wow. There's a little card actually going onto his phone. It's actually floating around.
Yeah, which is really cool because you can go like this. You can slide it out.
Oh, my God.
You can have your business card.
He just pulled his business card out of his phone. Okay.
So just, hold on. I want you.
I'm going to keep this.
What did you just experience there?
Oh, in wonder, of course.
Of wonder, that's
and,
right.
And the first thing that goes to my mind, which of course I'm going to say, okay, how did you do that?
Okay, that's the magic right there.
Yes.
Not me. You got the magic.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. So you, it's almost like you're saying the magician in a way is the victim.
Or the conductor.
Okay.
You know, going through the paces. The magic is what you feel. That's what I think, anyway.
Okay, so...
That's my interpretation.
If,
I guess that relates to things that I've always heard, is that what goes through your mind is always more powerful than what anyone can tell you.
That's right, yes.
Your imagination, yeah.
Because if you go see a show, people will see different things, right? Yeah. So it's like, wow, he did this. Really? Oh, I just remember he did that.
Yep. It's pretty impressive. So okay. See, now I'm trying to figure out how he did it.
but you know what? That's the fun part. Because when you go see a movie,
yeah.
Do you go, oh, gee, I wonder how he flew. How did Superman fly? You don't think that, right?
It depends on the movie. There's a lot of movies that do say that.
Yeah. You just like go through your mind. You watch TV. You don't say, you know, that's not his real girlfriend. He's, you don't analyze. But magic, people always analyze it. They don't enjoy just what's happening.
I think it's because it's got that much more of an impact than a movie. We know other actors, but, you know, it really, you know, I guess maybe there's envy, too, because I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that kind of stuff. So maybe that's why people say, you know, they want to find out right away, how'd you do it?
But you know what? A lot of times, if I told you, you'd be disappointed.
Well, maybe you'll agree with this, then, because I was watching a little video from our friends Penn and Teller, and they were talking about sleight of hand. Can you say this trick was pretty much sleight of hand in a way, right?
Yeah, a beginner sleight of hand.
Yeah, okay, beginner sleight of hand. So they said the 7 rules for sleight of hand says you got to be able to palm, and then number 2 is to ditch or to dispose. Number 3 is to steal or to produce something. Number 4 is to load. 5 is simulation. 6 is misdirection. And 7 is to switch.
Okay, do you want me to run through a little bit of that with you?
What's that?
Do you want me to run through? What was the first one?
The first one was palm.
Palm. I'm not going there.
Excellent.
What was the second one?
And the second one was a ditch or to dispose. So you have something, you have to dispose of it, you have to make it disappear. Well, so right now, okay, so we have to describe this for
you. You have to produce it first.
Okay, so you just
here,
put it.
Hold on to this.
Okay.
Yeah, it's over here.
That's right. So you have a handkerchief over your hand, and now you just produced a large coin.
Yeah, it's a silver dollar.
A silver dollar.
Or you can put it back like this and make it actually, then you can vanish it.
Okay, yeah.
And then you can bring it back like this.
Perfect. That's
awesome.
Are
you following?
Yeah, well, I'm following.
Perfect. Or you can take it like this and you put it in your back pocket and make it come back through your sleeves.
Nice.
Or you can go
like
this, put it back in your back pocket and make it come back like this, but it looks a little bit different this time.
Oh, wow. It looks like a gigantic donut-sized toonie now.
It's a donut-sized toonie.
Now, perfect. Of course, now the audience is hating us because now they're saying, well, we can't see what the guy is doing.
It's magic. It's magic.
It's always magic.
It's always magic.
So to you were saying that you originally wanted to play the guitar.
Yes.
And then you went to magic. Because your guitar skills, I'm presuming, weren't coming along as quickly as
weren't
you wanted
coming
to.
Along as not at all.
It wasn't attracting the girls as quickly
that's
as you wanted.
Bang on, you're bang on.
You know what? Guys only play guitar for two reasons. One is to, you know, get girls, and the second one is to get girls.
Magic's the second thing.
So, do you have to have almost like, you know, for playing guitar or for playing a musical instrument or doing anything artistic, they say you almost have to have a natural inclination for it, yeah, a natural talent. So, do you have to be naturally talented to do magic? Or is it something that anybody can learn to do?
Anybody can learn to do it. It's like telling a joke. Anybody can tell a joke. You can tell a joke. We all tell the same joke.
But not everybody's got showmanship.
Exactly. And they're not going to get a laugh. You can tell the joke, get a good round of applause.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
I love
it. I can tell a joke.
Alistair can tell the joke. He can get a good laugh. I can tell the same joke and bomb. And bomb, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got, you got to be a little bit of an actor first and an entertainer, number one.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. So when you're doing this trick like that on somebody, I'm assuming you're doing a lot of misdirection here. You're trying to get the mark, let's use that term, the mark, to actually focus on one thing and not the other hand.
A little bit. You got to watch your audience for sure.
Okay.
You got to be aware of what your audience is, where she's sitting, where you're sitting. She's sitting to my extreme left. I got to know that, right?
Yeah.
So
because her point of view, she's going to see the same trick, and she's going to have a different.
She's going to see a different trick, not the one I want. She's going to see something totally different, right?
Okay.
So you got to adjust yourself. You got to move back. You got to move forward. You got to maybe bring people in. You know, bring them a little bit smaller.
Okay.
That it's it's a lot like that. You gotta be aware of your audience, for sure.
A lot of choreography to your
A
magic.
Lot of choreography, you betcha, yeah. Yes.
I'm no magician at all, right? But I used to do the very simple trick of, especially to young kids, where we put the hand in front of their eyes and you get something in your hand and say, watch this, it's going to disappear. One and two, you hit it twice, and then the third time you just toss it by on their head, and the third time, of course, it's disappeared in your hand, right? You've changed, you've basically directed their attention to that empty hand, and they're not watching the hand toss it behind them at the same time, right?
There's a good trick that's called paper balls over the head. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And you could do it for like 300 or 400 people, have one guy up, and he won't know what's happening. And everybody sees what's happening.
Yes.
It's called a sucker trick. Everybody sees what's happening except him.
Oh,
and it's amazing because it's right in front of them. You know, and everybody gets a good laugh except him, but then you let him off at the end.
Okay. Keep asking questions, guys, and don't want dead air here.
Okay. My mic just disappeared. Okay, I got a question for you. So, taking from the James Randi, the Amazing Randi segment that I did, two questions. Actually, I've got a couple from this. So, abracadabra, where does that phrase come from? Do you know?
Yes, stump me. I think it comes
from... I think actually it comes from witchcraft.
I think it comes from the song, Abracadabra, I want to reach out and grab you.
Well, you're getting all the points today, Gary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enlighten me.
So, I don't know. I just asked you the question.
Where does it come from?
It was an actual... don't quote me on this, but I think I read one time it was an actual...
incantation?
An actual incantation that was essentially kind of... Shrunk down to abracadabra.
Okay.
It's very cliche. Just like everybody says, you know, where's the rabbit come from the hat? Or where does it come from?
Where does the rabbit come from, Gary? Where does the rabbit come from?
From the Mrs. Rabbit.
Oh, but a mummy and daddy rabbit love each other very much.
Yeah, that's right. That's where it really comes from.
Okay, so then leading on to the whole, kind of takes me into the whole incantation thing. So James Randi talked about spending a lot of his time investigating paranormal, occultic, supernatural claims, which as... some people would say that magic is simply a modern-day form of witchcraft or occultism. So do you ever get asked that? Do you ever get asked anything about your craft or your and where it's linked to? Maybe
Are you ever accused of being in league with the devil?
You get that black magic. You don't do any of that black magic, do you?
Really?
Yeah.
In 2016, people are asking
you. Yeah, I had about a month ago. You don't do any of that black magic, do you? I'm white. I was confused what he said. You know, it's like a black man. I don't know. It's like I'm Caucasian. Sorry. It's weird what goes through people's minds, you know?
So what is there a... Is there a link, or what is your experience of that? Apart from being asked if you do black magic,
there's no link.
There's no link, none at all.
No.
Are you sure?
On my end, there's no link.
Can we come over to your house for dinner one night?
Yes.
Okay. All right. My last question, because I have all my questions here. All right. So, James Randi again, the Amazing Randi. Is a member of the Society of American Magicians, International Brotherhood of Magicians, and the Magic Circle in the UK.
Yep.
Now, holding the rank of member of the Inner Magic Circle with a gold star. So, what is the Canadian equivalent of one of those organizations? What memberships hold?
We have all those.
Okay, so what memberships do you hold?
The IBM is International Brotherhood of Magicians. It's you have to be part of that to be involved in the Fraser Valley Magic Circle.
He also has a Save-On card.
Yeah, Save-On card, yeah. And Costco, too. So you have to be part of the IBM first. That's the bigger group. And then you can go to the smaller groups, which is the VMC, which is the Vancouver Magic Circle, and the FVMC. Fraser Valley Magic Circle.
Oh, really? Is the Fraser Valley Magic Circle?
There is a Fraser Valley Magic
Circle. Is it based here in Abbotsford? Or?
No, it's based in Abbotsford. Yeah, in Abbotsford. Sorry, I thought I was in Chilliwack for a minute. I was the first president of it.
Really?
Yeah, it was about 4 years ago. And we all, from the Fraser Valley, we all went to Vancouver. And we thought, you know, it's always like an hour drive, an hour and a bit. You know, it's raining. You know, we always don't want to go in. And there was enough of us to make a group. So we did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're the Fraser Valley Magic Group out here.
That's awesome.
Fraser Valley Magic Circle. Sorry.
Okay. So what is the gold star? What is that all about?
The gold star?
If you do a really, really good magic trick, to give you a gold star.
I think it's probably for being maybe part of the magic circle for so long. Yeah. Like, you know, being in there.
Well, what I want to know is when you get together,
yes.
What is it that you do when you get, other than have coffee and laugh, what is it that you guys
well,
do?
Well, you know, my wife, I was talking this with my wife the other day. She's, I said, you know, I'm going to know, like, most of the husbands that go to the bar, you know, go to the bar with your buddies, go golfing with your buddies, you know, we gather around like Friday nights. Where was I last this Friday? Oh, Friday night I was over at Mission and we had a lecturer come in. So he comes in and he shows us what he does. And then we buy all his stuff and learn crafts and share ideas. And if I'm having trouble with something, I'll ask somebody and we'll conquer.
You learn crafts. It's like,
yeah, crafts.
Okay, you gotta glue the popsicle sticks together.
Yeah, pretty much.
What'd you do tonight, honey? The magic circle. I made a house out of popsicle
yes,
sticks.
Yes, I did.
It's therapy. It's therapy. That's
exactly what it is. It's therapy.
So,
do you share tricks and illusions with each other?
For sure.
So I do get that right. So within that circle, you are exchanging.
We're exchanging. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
and we have conventions we go to. We have ideas. If I have something I want to sell, I could bring it. I could say, you know, I have this for sale. Anybody interested in buying it? If I know you're working on something, I could say, hey, I have this idea. What do you think? Could you use it?
Yeah.
Vice versa for me.
You know, for the longest time, the there's always been that rumor, of course, that cults of magicians or groups of magicians getting together have this very big code that, you know, you don't spill. That means you don't talk about tricks. Now, lately, in the past not even decade or so, shows like Penn & Teller and The Masked Magician and all that are revealing how it's done.
You know, I shouldn't be saying this, but just go on YouTube.
Okay. Yep. There we go.
but you know what? I'll do stuff and I'll show them how it's done and then I'll do it for them.
Yeah.
Well, and kids are bad for that because they'll go, oh, I know how that's done. I know. So, you know, they'll challenge you. So just give it to them. Okay.
But also knowing how it's done and being able to do it yourself. I mean, exactly. I know full well when you're handing over the coin to me from your handkerchief, it's actually still in that hand, but you're misdirecting me there.
But you went for it.
I went for it anyway, right? Yeah. Right away, I put out my hand to receive that coin, but I knew it was in the other hand. So it's the showmanship is actually quite impressive.
Actually, this is kind of interesting. You had mentioned about making money in magic.
That's like radio. You don't make a lot of money.
If you're talking about a group of magicians, would it be like a showmanship of magicians or an illusion of magicians instead of a group?
A showmanship of magicians.
Like a gaggle of geese? A gaggle of geese?
Let's see. I'll have to think about that. I'll have to come up with something.
Anyway,
you're making a show.
So yeah, you're tearing up a piece of paper here.
Say you make a little bit of money on magic cards.
About the size of a dollar bill.
About the size, yeah. Okay. You fold it down.
You
once.
Fold it down to lengthwise, and you fold it again. You
fold it down once more.
Oh, I fold it three times. And
fold it four times.
Four times.
All you do is have a little blow, have a little trinkle, and out comes a different color.
Oh,
the bill like this.
Look at that.
Oh wow.
Now I know this is fake, but there's no way in hell I've seen a magician with a $50 bill in his hand. I have never seen that. So
I made six of these last night.
That's awesome.
Actually, this was my tip.
Gary, you've been a blast. The hour's almost up already. So let's give you a couple of minutes here. Plug yourself. Be shameless, my friend. Go right ahead.
Be shameless. All right. My name's Gary. I'm from Chilliwack, BC. I do a lot of corporate functions, trade shows, a lot of birthday parties. I'm like the birthday party guy. My website is www.nowthatsmagic.net. Again, that's www.nowthatsmagic.net. If you're out in Chilliwack anywhere or around Abbotsford, you'll be able to see my vehicle. It's all deckled up. It's Black Envoy. My face on there, all my taglines. And
can't be doing too bad if you're driving an Envoy.
Yeah. And I live on Promontory.
Yeah, but maybe you should take back what I was saying there.
And also, if you're having a party coming up looking for some entertainment, give me a call. Now that's magic.net. And if you say you heard me on the radio here, I'll give you $25 off.
Ooh. Ooh.
And don't say that makes it free then.
Should be a code promo, you know, say Left of the Valley, that's your code promo. And there you go. Get $25 off.
Yep, there you
go. You heard it here today, folks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Oh, thanks, Gary. That was wonderful.
Well, thank you.
It was. Thanks.
All right, time for my rant. Okay. Now, I'm going to do the very first rant I actually did when we did the podcast, and that's because I thought it was just appropriate to redo it here at CIVL today. Most of us take for granted the right to express your views publicly when you live in a country where it is written in the law. Myself, I've always tried to defend this right, no matter how extreme or ridiculous the views. And many politicians have used this as a rallying cry for the troops. How many times have you heard, "I disagree with you, but I will defend your right to say it," ad nauseum, to the point where it's lost all meaning? But written between the lines is the real reason here. People have rights. Ideas don't. Unfortunately, this seems to have been lost on the masses today, too preoccupied with going to a job they hate to pay for the car and the house they can't afford in order to keep up with the Joneses. In today's society, the fast pace and faster living, the art of conversation has become an endangered species, where most information taught comes in bullet points and buzzword catchphrase. The nasty side effect is that the average Joe is uninformed, distracted, and all too easily offended, especially when things aren't going what should be their perceived way. So if this describes you, you might want to stop listening right now. If you're still here, here's my point. I don't have to respect your opinion. I will respect you as a fellow human being and won't stop you from saying it, but some ideas and opinions are just ridiculous, hateful, and simply wrong. Like I said, people have rights, ideas don't. I will challenge your perception, values, and ideas and invite you to do the same. This should then lead to a discussion and overall progress in the sharing of information. Ask yourself, what would it take for me to change my perception on subject X? If you answer nothing, then I'm sorry. You've stopped growing as a human being and are essentially contributing nothing or little to our society. If you answered, "I don't know," then I invite you to take a left of the valley and sit down with us. You are a person we can learn from. Wrong song. Well, that takes us to the end of our show. So, how are we doing so far, guys? Been pretty good, huh?
It went fast.
I had a great time.
I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Excellent. A few announcements. Next show, next weekend, we'll have rapper Baba Brinkman. So that should be interesting, and he's going to tell us what he does with his art form. We will also have what's coming up again?
If you check on the website www.leftatthevalley.com, every week we put up what the next show is going to be, and there will be a schedule coming up so people can look at the schedule and they can see what show they want to tune into. However, I recommend you tune in every week because maybe every week we should get $25 off Gary's Magic Tricks.
Hey, yeah. If you can book me, I'll honor that.
So yeah, just check out the website, leftatthevalley.com, and all the information's there.
Yeah, and you can follow us at, like you said, leftatthevalley.com. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on, you can send us an email at leftatvalley@outlook.com. Anything else you guys want to add?
See you next week.
See you next week, and hopefully for a long run. Thank you, CIVL. Until next time. Just for you.